The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text for our sermon today is Luke chapter 17, verses 26 to 37. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in his house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife? Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night there will be two men in one bed. The one will be taken and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken and the other left. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. And they answered and said to him, Where, Lord? So he said to them, Wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us for your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, today is the third last Sunday of the church year. Again, we are reminded that someday Jesus will come back, but no one except the Father knows what day it will be. This does not mean that we have no idea as to whether the return of Jesus lies in the near or distant future. Jesus himself has given us signs which will indicate whether his day is at hand or not. He has told us that wars, distress of nations, famines, pestilence, earthquakes, abnormal phenomena in the skies, the coming of false Christs and false prophets, a great falling away from the faith, an increase in wickedness, and a number of other things will tell us that his return is near. Anyone who pays attention to the warnings of Jesus cannot but agree that the times in which we live are the last times of human history, and that the end of all things is at hand. But who is doing this? How many people are there in the world who are watching how one sign after another is being fulfilled? There are some, but they are very few. The vast majority of people are living without any concern whether the day of Christ and the end of the world are near or not. And this very failure of people to watch is to be to us another sign that the return of Christ is near. That is the very thing which Jesus wants to impress on our minds in the gospel for today. And in our text Jesus says, As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. Let us compare our days with those of Noah and Lot, as we now ask and answer the question, How was it in the days of Noah and Lot? May the Lord bless our meditation. Firstly, in the days of Noah and Lot, the people crowded God out of their lives. How was it in those days? They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they built. Something about this list of activities strikes us as strange. It is a list of human activities that are either commanded or approved by God. What is wrong with eating and drinking, with marrying and being given in marriage, with buying and selling, and with planting and building? Ordinarily, nothing. God himself commanded people in Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. He commanded men to work. He said that those who will not work should not eat. If that is the case, what is Jesus driving at? We know that Jesus is finding fault with the people of Noah and Lot's days. He is driving at the fact that these people were so wrapped up in these normal activities that they crowded God completely out of their lives. They gave so much attention to food and drink, to courtship and marriage, and to farming, business and building, that they had no time for God's affairs. They forgot worship, forgot salvation, and forgot the work of God. And that is always fatal. You do not have to be wicked to destroy your soul. All you need to do is to forget God who gave you your soul and who redeemed it. So, are people like that in our day? There is only one answer. They are. In fact, they are worse. The people in those days were midgets compared with the people of our day. They did not have the dozens of things which people now have to crowd God out of their lives. They did not have the daily newspapers, the weekly and monthly magazines, radios, TV, internet, computers, cars, planes, movies, sport arenas, long weekends and long vacations. Many people think even less about God now than they did then. According to a little paragraph in the Time magazine, a rabbi said, "The earth is the only place to fix our fancy." And that is exactly what the great majority of people are doing. They eat and drink without prayer to God, who opens his hand to satisfy the desire of every living thing. They plant, cultivate and harvest without a thought of God, who makes the sun to shine and the rain to fall. They marry without God, who instituted marriage. They are interested in their family affairs, but not in the affairs of the family of God. They are interested in houses, but not in the house of God. They are interested in fluorescent and LED lighting, but not in Jesus, who is the light of the soul. They are interested in penicillin and other wonder drugs, but not in the divine remedy for the sickness of sin. They cry for a 3-day or a 4-day week, but then rob God on the one day which they should voluntarily give to him. Look where you like, and you will see that people are as they were in the days of Noah and Lot. They commit normal human activities, things which are not wrong in themselves, to crowd God out of their lives. And that, as we said, is always fatal to the soul. When you forget God, you are unprepared for the destruction which will surely come. Secondly, in the days of Noah and Lot, people were unprepared for the destruction which came. The people of Noah's day and of Lot's day were unprepared for the destruction. In Noah's day it was a flood. In Lot's day it was the rain of fire and brimstone. In both cases, the people could have known that the end was near. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. For 120 years he told the people about the doom which was to come. In those years, the ark was under construction. Every timber, every board, every peg, every pound of pitch shouted the warning at them. But they were too busy to listen. They ridiculed this crazy man who was building the big boat on dry land far from the sea. And what happened? On a day when men were working in their fields, when carpenters were building houses, when merchants were buying and selling, it began to rain. They may have said, "Never mind, it will soon stop," but it did not. It did not stop for 40 days and 40 nights. It became a flood which destroyed them all. That is how it was also in the days of Lot. Lot warned the men against their wickedness, but his voice went unheeded. One day the sun was risen on the earth. People were engaged in the normal activities. It was a beautiful day. But then it began to rain, hot rain, rain of fire and brimstone. All were unprepared, and so it destroyed them all. Our text says, "Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on that day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." And our text continues, "Even so it will be. in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. People will be busy. They'll be busy with weddings, with crops, with marketing, with construction and the like. There'll be no warning. The end will then come with such startling and unexpected suddenness that he was on the housetop and his goods are in his house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. The great tragedy will be that people will be unprepared for the destruction, and for man destruction will mean hell. Let us take note about a few points concerning the future coming of the Son of Man. Jesus makes 6 points. First, that they will not come as soon as believers in Christ wish. Secondly, the last day, also called Judgment Day, will be known to all people and will not happen in secret. Third, there must first come a time of suffering. Fourth, that day will catch many people unprepared. Fifth, the end will be in a moment. And sixth, many family and friends will be separated by the final judgment. It is your own individual faith in Christ that saves, not your relationship to someone else. Jesus compares the day of the Son of Man to the days of Noah and Lot. The people before the flood were not at all responsive to the preaching of Noah and went about their normal activities with no thought of the coming judgment. So also the wicked inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah were totally unprepared for the fiery destruction of those cities in the days of Lot. The same will be true on the day when the Son of Man comes again. The disciples show in our text that they really have not been listening very well when they asked the question, "Where, Lord?" Jesus had warned against people who propose a "where" by saying, "Here he is," or "There he is." When and where are not important. Jesus' reply to the disciples' question is given in the form of a proverb. He is saying, "Birds of prey, circling the sky, give clear evidence to everyone of the presence of a dead body." The where of the Son of Man will be just as obvious to everyone on the last day. You need not ask that question. This reinforces the second point above. Judgment Day will be known to all people. The when and where of the coming of the Son of Man is not something we Christians today should concern ourselves with. What matters is that you are aware that this day will come and that you are fully prepared. So thirdly, in the days of Noah and Lot, a few people did escape. The good news is that not all the people were destroyed in the days of Noah and of Lot. A few people escaped. Noah entered into the ark. He did not go in alone. He went with his wife, his 3 sons, and their wives. Why were they saved? Noah was the man to whom God had said, "I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." They listened to God. They had time for him. They did his work. They believed in Christ. So God said to Noah, "Come into the ark, you and all your household." Furthermore, Lot went out of Sodom, and Peter calls him Righteous Lot, a man who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. Nor did he escape alone. His wife and his 2 daughters went with him. True enough, remember Lot's wife, our text says. Her heart was still attached to the things which Sodom offered her for this life. And she looked back and became a pillar of salt. And as it was in the days of Noah and Lot, so it shall be when the Son of Man comes. Some people will escape. Jesus says, "I tell you, in that night there will be 2 men in 1 bed. The one will be taken and the other left. 2 women will be grinding together. The one will be taken and the other left. 2 men will be in the field. The one will be taken and the other left." Some will be taken for heaven, but the rest will be left for eternal destruction and hell. Do not get the idea that these words of Jesus imply an arbitrary separation. They do not. The right to escape will be based on the same thing on which it was based in the days of Noah and Lot. Christ will only ask, "Who is like righteous Noah? And who is like righteous Lot?" In the day of Christ, the just shall live by his faith. Those who have received the righteousness provided by Christ through his holy life and through his atonement for their sins on Calvary's cross will be taken to live forever in heaven. Will you be one of these? Those who escaped in the days of the flood and in the days of Sodom, destruction, were normal human beings. They engaged in all normal human activities, but they did not forget God and his Christ. We must be as they were. What we have said, therefore, calls some earnest soul searching. We are very busy people because we are children of a very busy age. But we must never permit the affairs of this life to rule us and overwhelm us so that we have no time for living communion with our Saviour. We must never seek to save our life by pampering ourselves, by concentrating all our thoughts and activities on material things. Our text says, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. Find time for Jesus, find time to worship him, find time for his word, his house, and his table. Be ready to risk everything for him. And keep your eyes open. Watch for the eagles of judgment, which are already flocking together for the judgment of a world which has become a putrid carcass. Then when Jesus comes, you will be ready, and you will be taken with those who will hear him say, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.